Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hard One Indescribable Podcast. Adam, Todd, and Lindy host One Indescribable Podcast. Recap G5E on One Indescribable Podcast. They'll share their points of view, and in this one we will talk about G5E's sophomore run, and if we think it was kind of a sophomore slump, and we will talk about some of our favorite songs and see who tops most charts. Now, onto your favorite podcast, where we bring all of our hot takes for you.
Are back at One Indescribable Podcast at the end of season two of Girls 5 Eva. We made it all the way through all of the episodes that are currently available to you to watch. How exciting, though, that will not be the case for very much longer as we are racing towards season three. I'm Adam H. here with you week after week, episode after episode, to talk through this very, very fun show here with two of my very good friends. First and foremost, Todd Delay Brain, how are you?
I am good. I'm just sitting here having all the songs stuck in my head constantly for the last couple of weeks. I've had Bend Not Break just running in nonstop repeat in my head. So maybe by talking about it today, I can finally get it out.
Maybe. I suspect Doubtful. Probably not, though. Yeah, because I've had the theme stuck in my head for like four months now.
The theme is never going away. The theme is going to haunt us for the rest of our lives.
I feel like we have been so critical of the music of the show, and admittedly, we will continue to be throughout this podcast. Don't get me wrong. But the theme slaps, and I will just say, to the credit of our very own TV Lindy, she said this right from the beginning, right from the start of how good this theme was. I did not listen to her. I was not a day one fan of this theme. Although, again, I will say, because of the song that they used it for, with a little stanko or whatever, it was not great. But boy, the actual theme, the classic theme, 5 out of 5, Lindy, you called that right from the beginning. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. My opinions are always correct.
Well,
That's what you meant when you said that, right?
I don't think I said that.
I'm just going to pretend that you did and move forward.
That's a very Adam move there, Lindy. I think you're co-opting Adam move.
Doesn't it feel good doing that, though? Doesn't
it feels great, actually. Like, yeah, I'm so delusional, but like, it's fun.
Yeah, that's the perfect word for how I would describe my normal podcast behaviors. It's roughly delusional. We're here to talk about all of season 2 of Girls 5 Eva. So we already did season 1. We did that retrospective, and then we're doing season 2. And I'm just going to say right off the bat, okay, all of season 2, worse than all of season 1. If I just stacked the two up next to each other, I think season 1 was better. And Todd, I don't know that it was particularly close.
Yeah, I think that even the best episode of season 2 isn't as good as the worst episode of season 1. There might be a season 1 episode that is worse than an episode in season 2, but I am not thinking of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know that I could come up with like a specific one from season 1 that would be worse. But honestly, Lindy, I feel like the biggest difference between the two, the songs are just not as good. And, you know, like Todd said, near the end, there was some good stuff. I was a pretty big fan of BPE. We'll talk about Bend Not Break, obviously. But boy, I mean, outside of these, like, Lindy, you gave 0 fives to any song.
I know. This was tough. That's probably the first time that's happened on a season of television we've talked about on this podcast. I'm sure that on every other season, I've given at least 1 5. But this time, it just didn't happen. And I do have high standards. You know, we've watched a lot of good episodes of TV with a lot of good songs. But I just don't think anything in this season reached the height of excellence that I was hoping for. And things in season 1 did, like the theme song, incredible. Dawn's Song of Fears, I think that is the height that this show can get to. And I just don't think the songs got there this season for me.
Yeah, and I wonder if it was more of a vibe change than anything else, right? Because I feel like at least in the first season we had... Well, and I guess like some of it did apply to the second season. It was just a little more wacky in the first season, right? Like we did a whole thing about Lego Man. We did the, you know, Dawn's Song of Fears, like you're saying as well. I just feel like there were more very intentionally serious songs in the second season. And it doesn't necessarily make them worse, I guess. But I also, I don't know, Todd, one of the things that we did talk about, I think it was in the episode that Lindy wasn't here, was that the songs kind of need to be funny for a show like this, at least in some way. And if they're not, it does take a little bit away because of the creativity we've come to know and expect.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why Bend Not Break didn't get a full 5 from me. Although after having listened to it several times since then, I feel like if I were to score it now, I would give it a 5. But that was the big stumbling block for me, is like, yeah, it's a good song, but I come to shows like this like wanting like a funny song. And maybe I just like recalibrating your expectations to go, okay, the song wasn't meant to be funny. And so I'm judging against a rubric that it wasn't trying to achieve. And so that's not necessarily fair to that song. But I do think that there just was something about the songs this season that just didn't quite hit the way that some of the songs did. And now there are some really good songs this season. I think, you know, you gave more 5s than I did, but I still gave 5s to a couple. I gave 4s to quite a few. There are quite a few songs I think were good songs. They weren't great. They weren't the heights that we have seen in the other shows that we've covered. But there were still some really, really good songs. And I think a few of them, like I was listening to the soundtrack like right before we start recording. There are a few that like, yeah, I probably should have given Momentum a little bit higher score. Like listen to the full version of Momentum. I think one thing that I did first season, I didn't do as much this season, is I would listen to the full version of the song before I would come on the pod, and that would maybe influence my ratings a little bit, because I would have heard like the full produced version. I would let that influence. Mm-hmm. I didn't really do that this season. I think it did hurt my scoring of a few of the songs. So listening to full Momentum, I was like, yeah, I probably should have given Momentum a little bit more than the 4. Listening to full Bend Not Break, I should have given that a full five. So I think that was another one of the things. But it's a complaint we've had about the show itself from the beginning, like not giving us full versions of the songs. And it's so hard whenever you have to like listen to the closing credits to hope to get a full version of the song. And even then, it's probably not the full version. You have to go to Spotify to hear that full thing. Something like I Can't Wait to Wait. Like the best parts of that were in the closing credits. And if you hadn't listened to it, then you would miss out on the joy of like Kermit waited, Dingus Duck didn't wait, you know, all of that stuff. So it's just like, I doubt the Netflix show will be any different. I doubt being on Netflix will change the way they do it. But a part of me hopes that they will give us more full songs in the actual episodes for season three. But I don't have much hope. This show has killed my hope.
Oh, wow. No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I hope that Dawn wasn't pregnant, and then she was. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess the opposite of Dawn in that regard. Maybe not an exact opposite. I don't know. Okay, let's talk specifics here for season two. Let's start with the characters. Now, of course, episode after episode, we gave a point for who topped our charts. Lindy, you have a list here going in ascending order. Of who got points this season. Are we ready to get into this? Are we ready to talk through these characters?
I'm so ready. Are you guys ready?
I'm in the house.
Oh, Todd, you got it. Oh. you can be in the house, but not ready. Todd, are you ready?
Yeah. I think I'm ready. Adam, are you ready?
I'm getting there. Lindy, what about you?
I'm ready.
Okay, Lindy's actually ready. We should probably,
I was going along with it. Why are you saying I ruined it? I didn't say
you ruined it. What do you mean? No one ruined anything. You're putting words in my mouth there, Lindy. Oh my gosh. Okay. Lindy, take it away.
All right. Just after every season, we always go through who got the most points this season. We'll start off with the people who got the least amount of points. So this season, we had some major characters with 0 points. We'll do some quick ones. I just brought this up for Todd's benefit, but 0 points this season, Nick, who's Don's brother, in case anyone forgot. You probably did because he's not really in the show, but Todd wishes he was.
Yeah, I miss Nick so much. Maybe season three. Please, some Nick in season three. Very unlikely. I doubt it seriously. I mean, he's got connections to Tina Fey. He's been like 30 Rock. I think like I'm in the first season. There's a possibility he might show up again, but I'm not holding my breath. That's going to be my new reason why season two wasn't as good. No Nick. No Nick means like season two was worse. That's my new headcanon.
Uh-huh.
And so he obviously could not earn points. And then someone else with 0 points this season, Larry. I think we saw him a few times. Obviously, no surprise that we didn't give him points. We don't like him, but he does pop up every now and again.
Yeah, I mean, I added him to the list whenever I made like the initial list of characters that might get points when we watched the first episode, because I didn't know what was going to happen with Larry. And yeah, I don't think he's ever gotten a single point from any of us at any point. I doubt he ever will.
I will say, I think it is within the realm of possibility that he gets one. I'm not saying it's going to happen or that it's even remotely likely. I'm just saying I'm open. I've given points to worse things.
You have. That is so true. So, but like, what would Larry have to do?
They would have to put in a massive redemption arc here where he like did something. And then he also would have probably had to like sacrifice his life to make sure the tour.
Yeah.
Like it would legitimately have to be like a big thing where he doesn't end up alive at the end and ends up sort of like gosh. I guess Larry did care about us after all those years. And he did. You know what I mean? Like they would have to go hard. I don't think it's going to happen. Okay. I'll just put it out there. I don't think it's likely. I'm just saying it's within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I was about to say, you know, Larry's funerals never gets the point. That was going to be like the only scenario I think for like, we get the pity point for him, but.
And you even know, then it would have to be a very specific set of funeral circumstances.
I guess it's not completely impossible, but very, very unlikely, but we'll keep track of that. We'll see. Season three, who knows? All right, someone else, Lil Stinker, aka what did he rebrand as? What's his new name?
Bootsy Ting.
Right. So he did show up a few times here, but no points for him. I mean, he doesn't play a huge role, but he does help out the group sometimes.
He's like single-handedly the reason that they are currently successful. Like, yeah. Honest with ourselves here. Like, it's really not because of anything that they did. I mean, it kind of is, but like not really. He is single-handedly responsible for them. He probably should be getting points. If we were the group, we should be giving him points. But in terms of the show, like, I don't know. I don't think he'll ever get one. I think it's more likely that Larry gets one as opposed to Lil Stinker.
Really? I would say the opposite. I think there's been some comedic possibilities with him. So I could see him doing something that would get a point as opposed to, I think Larry is a much longer shot for me. I don't think either one of them's going to get any points, but if I had to lay odds on it, I think Lil Stinker has more potential than Larry.
We shall see. I hope in, you know, three more seasons of Girls 5 Ever, we look back on this and laugh.
Wait, are you there? Girls 5 seasons? You think there's gonna be?
Oh, I'm just being hopeful. My hope is still alive, unlike Todd's. So
yeah, you want more of the show? Todd is like, oh my god, I can't believe I have to do another 8 episodes here.
Wait, Todd, you don't want to do the? You don't want a podcast about the show anymore?
Should we just not do season 3? Should we just change it up, even though this is lining up basically perfectly?
No, we're absolutely doing it.
Like, I just plugged on Shit Nation taught me how excited I was to talk about a show that's actually relevant for once. So no, we're doing it.
Boy, relevant may be a stretch, but also it might not be because of the Netflix. Then I don't know. I think people might actually be watching this now.
People are going to be into this. And Netflix back when it was on Peacock, back when no one cared.
Will Netflix have seasons 1 and 2?
Yes. Yes, okay. It will. Cool. They released a trailer for season 3, and it was mainly just scenes from season 1 and 2, and them saying, yeah, we're going to have seasons 1 and 2 and the new season. So that's they cool. will all be available on Netflix. There were like two or three new things in the trailer from season 3, but they all made me laugh out loud. So that's one was a Wiki line, one was a Gloria line, and one was like a Dawn flashback. And so like to the Girls 5 Ever, like young Girls 5 Ever stuff, which is like some of Dawn's best stuff, I think. Not current Dawn. But anyway, The few things they showed, yeah, they definitely cherry picked some of like the highlights, I think, from this season. But it's enough to make me be, oh no, I started to stay hopeful. Has the show like revived my hope?
Wow,
am I just delusional? I think I'm just delusional.
No, Todd, I am the delusional one. Do you remember? I also think that putting all three seasons on Netflix for people who don't even know what Peacock is, this show could play very well on a binge.
I think it will.
I think that we are maybe struggling a little bit with the wait a week, watch an episode, wait a week, watch an episode. I think this show would play incredibly well on a binge. That being said, we are going to cover this one episode per week, yeah. So it's not like we're going to be doing it. Although maybe the option is out there for us to just binge it all on the go episode. I don't know. I'm not going to, but. Like, should we consider that? Should we be like, I don't think so.
Nah, I think episode by episode is the way to go. Right.
But I still think this would be really good on a binge. I think, like, you should watch season 3 on a binge and then listen to us not on a binge.
Yes.
Or wait 8 weeks, then watch season 3 on a binge, and then listen to us on a binge.
If anyone does that, let us know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're all excited for season 3. I made my name in our video. Can't wait to see season 3 because I can. And this show's all about numbers. Somehow, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. The title is for sure a play on numbers. Five sure a play on numbers.
Yeah. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So back to the story of our lives.
Anyway,
on this podcast.
Jeez, Lindy, get back on track. What are you doing? Oh my god.
Anyway, okay, back to our 0 point getters. Another kind of minor character, Tate, the guy from the record label. He was in this season popping up all the time, but did not receive any points from us. I don't really have anything to say. I thought he was fine, but he didn't really have enough moments to really get the spotlight, you know?
Yeah. Again, kind of like with Larry and Little Stinker, like both of them I put in the list initially because they were big parts in the first episode. Like, who knows where it's going to go? And Tate was like, you know, a big part of like the record label stuff in the first episode. So, like, okay, he was funny. So I'm like, oh, yeah, we could have, I have no idea how big of a part he's going to play. And then, yeah, admittedly, not a huge part, but he was in quite a few episodes. He usually made me laugh when he was on screen, but he wasn't, like you said, like a major part of any plot. Like, he would come in, have a good line, and leave, but even like his good lines weren't enough to overshadow like other characters in the episodes.
Tate was in a prime position to get a point from me. Someone who I have seen perform live on a show that I'm watching and covering, that is like the sweet spot of Adam is going to give you points probably. And it just didn't happen. They just didn't give him enough. That being said, I do think if this was like a 22 episode season and like Tate is in a good amount of them at the same level that he's in now, one of them probably would have gone to him over the course of more episodes. But boy, an abbreviated episode is just so tough to justify giving rando, basically nameless characters points on some of these. And yeah, besides the ones that we'll talk about at the 1 point line, but we'll get there.
Yeah, but before we get to the people who got 1 point, there is one more person who got 0 points this season, and I just have to say it's a bit embarrassing for her because this is a main character and that's Dawn. And I'm so sorry, Dawn, but you got no points from us this season.
Tough. It's rough. It's so rough. Yeah. I feel so bad for Sarah Bareilles because she's so talented and they just gave her bupkis to do. Just the storylines were just not advancing her character at all. And even if she did get like an even... So I think like one episode that was good for her was the episode where she and Summer wrote the song about Larry. I think that was a good, you know, it wasn't a bad Dawn episode. You know, it was a okay Dawn episode, but she also didn't necessarily shine in that. I think that's part of the problem. There are no episodes where Dawn really shone, and there are lots of episodes where you're like, oh no, we got Dawn worrying about stuff again. Oh no, we got Dawn bogged down in mundane, you know, worries again. Just like no real growth and just like spinning our wheels and what are we even doing here with a lot of stuff and the pregnancy of it all. It's just really unfortunate.
This is like so interesting as we're like looking back and, you know, sometimes I wonder why we collect so much data on ourselves of why we're tracking all of this, because it's not like we even released this, but then it's just why I can look back and look and say, hey, you know what? Over the course of 2 seasons, Dawn received points on one episode. She has one episode where Dawn has received points, and that is, of course, Dawn's Song of Fears. Like, it's very clear. We all were absolutely in love with that performance and that thing. The only other point that she got was me at the end of season one. And I still kind of feel justified in that because she's never like the main, oh, I loved this one moment or loved this one little thing, or she doesn't really make the one liner. She doesn't have the real funny lines like Lori and Wiki do, but I did like her character in season one and the journey that she went on. Just not the case in season two. And it was really unfortunate near the end where we were, Todd, you and I were both like, please, no, please just don't do this. And then we did it. And we're going to have to deal with those consequences in season three, but it's not even remotely a surprise for me that Dawn got 0 points in season two. I hope that it's different in season three. I hope they elevate this character. I don't know.
I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but I think part of the problem for me with Dawn is like, she's so normal. I mean, she does have quirks and weird things going on, but compared to the other three main characters, she's like the normal person. And I assume that's on purpose to have kind of a more grounded character in the midst of all this wackiness. But I kind of think they don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it would still work really well if all four of them were getting up to all these weird things. So I do hope that in season three, they lean more into Dawn being weird, expressing all of her very specific fears. Like, that was the best Dawn to me. And that was leaning into, she's weird too, like just as much as the other, she can be just as much as the other three. They just don't present it that way.
Yeah, and I think this season did dip in that a little bit. Like, everything with her and the doctor was like very much playing on her being super paranoid and strange, and I think there's at least one other episode where we kind of get to see a little bit of that, But yeah, it's a different type of weird. It's not the out there flashy weird that the others have. It's weird, but it's more subdued and also kind of like depressing in some ways. I don't know. Yeah, but I do agree. Like, whenever we had the episode, whenever she came up with her alternate persona in season one, I thought that was like a fun look at Dom. Whenever she's trying to put on, I can't remember what the name of that persona was, but I think there's definitely potential for Dawn to be a character that gets points. But the show just, and it is weird to call her like the most grounded character out of this group, because she's definitely not grounded in reality, but it's all relative. For this group, she is so much more grounded than anyone else.
So that's everyone who got 0 points. Well, not everyone. I mean, there were a lot of characters who were irrelevant with 0 points. But now moving on to all of the people who got 1 point this season, I have to say this is a very odd group altogether.
The 1-pointers usually are. 1-pointers are usually like the really out there, like, you know, table, you know, type points. So
yeah, and you're like, what do these people all have in common? Absolutely nothing. But we're gonna go through them. So,
well, usually the thing is that Adam gave him a point one time. That's usually like the thing that they have in common. I'm true. Just gonna say, I don't know that that's really the case this season. Maybe one, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of 1-pointer rando things here.
We'll see. All right. So the first person who got 1 point this season is Ashley. And I think that's totally justified. You know, she was a member of the group. She's got this intriguing backstory. Did she fake her own death or not? We explored that this season. So I think this is a well-deserved point here.
Yeah, Lindy saying that the point that she gave was well justified.
Yeah.
Oh, did I give it?
Yeah. Oh, did I? Was it me? Did I perform this task? Yeah, of course it was you, Lindy. I don't think it's a justified pick at all. She's dead. She's not even here. She faked her own death and she's gone. Show back up and then I'll give you a point. What do you mean?
Can I be really honest? I actually didn't remember that this was me. I swear. I didn't know.
Yeah, it was from the leave a message if you love me the at the beep episode.
You just got emotional. You liked the little emotional.
I did. I thought it was nice. You know,
it was good. Yeah, it was
paying tribute to their friend. You know,
I don't know what Ashley did to get the point, but it was nice.
I can't recall, but
But you still think it was super justified. I do.
She plays an important role, whether you like it or not.
I wouldn't know. I don't recall. So.
All right. So the next person who got a point, I know I gave this point. I remember this. I gave a point to Joey Sasso because he had a little cameo in the first episode. And that's the reason. It was just like, wait, what is Joey Sasso doing here? Winner of the Circle season one. It was just so random and funny that I just went for the point there.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the situations where if you hadn't, I might have. So I think that's completely, completely understandable.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I think I was in that boat too, and I think that you probably went first in giving the point that round, and then Todd and I were both like, oh, okay, whew, we can give it to them if we actually wanted
oh,
to.
Oh man,
we can give it to our two favorites instead.
Wow. Well, you're welcome then. Yeah. So the next person with 1 point is Stevia. Looks like Todd gave that point.
Yeah, I think it was the episode where she gets, you know, angry and slaps the thing out of Kev's hand. I think there was like Stevia bullying Kev cracked me up that episode. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people that really cracked me up that episode. I think it was, again, I think one of the weaker episodes of the season. So yeah.
And then we have, I have to be completely honest, I don't even know what this is referring to. Rogue Sun? What is that?
Lindy, how could you possibly forget Business Throne?
Oh.
How do you not remember Business Throne?
Yeah. The intense wondering about whether the Rogue Sun was going to go rogue this time.
Okay.
He did, but in Tanzania or wherever it was, I don't even know. Listen, anytime that a show really like pokes fun at Succession, I will love it. I am the audience for those kind of jokes. As someone who has watched all of Succession, enjoyed it, but also knows way too many people in my life who think that it's the most serious, best show ever. It needs to be taken down a few pegs, and coming for Business Throne, I'm a huge fan, and like the it just kept coming up, like the constant references to the Rogue Son. So this worked for me. I don't know that like the Rogue Son should have gotten a point, but in terms of the joke, this was my favorite joke sequence and structure of the episode, and I wanted to pay that tribute in some way.
Yeah.
Like I could have given it to the Business Throne, I guess, but like, you know.
I think Rogue Son was the, and I think I was also considering Rogue Son in that episode. That was the Summer's Parents episode.
Yes.
So there was not a whole lot of choices to pick from in terms of points that episode. So I think Rogue Son was on my list.
All right, and then we have one more character or characters who got 1 point because it is the collective Property Brothers.
Yeah, that fight sequence just cracked me up so much. Like, both of them just cracked me up so much. Everything about the Property Brothers in the episode was just great. I could not give them a point. And I do want to say, in the trailer for season 3 that is showing clips from the first 2 seasons, like, the Property Brothers fight is, like, one of the things. They show Gloria punching him. Also, Adam, they showed your favorite clip of the entire series of a Summer drawing on the poster as it moved to, like, the... They showed that in the trailer as well. So they were really cherry picking, you know, some great moments from the show to advertise it.
If I was not going to give my point to Summer for that final episode, it would have been to the Property Brothers. It was just so funny. It was so funny to get them involved. It was wildly unexpected too. It was like one of those things where, and it was like a surprise, not in the Joey Sasso way where it was like, oh, what is Joey Sasso doing here? It like kind of tracks that a like C-minus list celebrity is like doing one of these little shows. Like that tracks for me that Joey Sasso is doing that. The Property Brothers are a little more legit. And also what they're doing is like fist fighting Gloria out here and like doing all these things. So it's like, I definitely enjoyed them. Probably could have gotten more in that final episode had it not been for some other characters.
Honestly, that was one of the highlights of the season for me, was the Gloria's fight with the Property Brother. Like, that was incredible. I think we all loved it. So, all right. So that was everyone with 1 point. So now we're going to move on to everyone with 2 points. And that might not sound like a lot, but we're getting into the top tier here because... with only 8 episodes in the season, there are not a lot of points to go around. So if you got at least 2 points, you're doing something right. So we have 2 people in this category. And first up is Scott, Dawn's husband.
I think, and you kind of, you know, mentioned this as well, 2 points in my mind is basically not a fluke, right? Anyone and everyone could and have gotten 1 point. Like, 1 point is one of the lowest bars to clear on this podcast. 2 points, however, I think it means it's not a fluke. And in my mind, Scott's performance this season was wildly inconsistent, basically non-existent for the vast majority of it until he was singing. And that was awesome. Let this man sing, or don't, if that's what you want to do, I guess. But like, how fun was that? Lindy, you and I both gave him the point there that episode. In my mind, totally, totally deserved.
I think I was so thrilled at that because that was when he was talking to Wiki and she was like, oh, it's so great to meet a fan. He's like, you live in my apartment. Like, he was just like so confused. So yeah, I did really enjoy him that episode. And he is a constant on the show. Like, he's probably the character outside of the main four that like shows up the most. So I think it's good that he, you know, that he got some points. All right. And then we had one other character with 2 points. I don't know. You all gave these points. I was not here for this episode. You all both gave a point to Sean, Wiki's lunch lord.
I like Sean. I still like Sean even at the end of the season. I'm maybe not optimistic, but I'm hopeful that we could be getting more Sean. He was great. The nugget eater, as he was like,
I think that's my issue.
That's your problem.
Yeah. Lindy like had an issue with the nuggets of it all. I remember her saying that. But he's, I think we, Adam and I both responded well to like him speaking like truth to Wiki.
Yeah.
And basically like calling her on her crap and all of that. I mean, I was really torn between whether to give the point to him or to Wiki because that was a really good Wiki episode as well. But I wasn't sure how much more Sean we were going to get. Like, I thought we might get one more episode, but I wasn't sure where it was going to go and how much we get of him in the episode. So I want to reward all of his normie whisperer realness he made me laugh a lot, and yeah.
Could Sean get your point in the future, Lindy? Like, are you open to this character, or did you just really not vibe with Sean?
Oh, I'm totally open to it. I actually like the dynamic that he brought to the two episodes he was in, like showing this other side of Wiki falling in love with a normal person, you know, and how he calls himself the Lunch Lord. I think he's really funny, and I think he has great potential. I don't know if he's in season three. I hope we see him. I just, in that particular episode, I couldn't get past the nugget thing. It was, yeah. That was too much for me.
Just think of how convenient it is when you have whole
and
bone
and wet,
chicken.
And the wet corn. And the egg tray. Like,
those eggs look good, rusty. Though. Lenny, I don't know. Sometimes you just have to cook for an army and then just chip away at it, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
like when I only cook like two or three times a week, but I make enough to have leftovers for the rest of the week for both Sarah and I. Like, we do,
so
like, I guess you could
call
it meal prep.
Trays of eggs.
Okay, admittedly, it's not eggs. We don't like mass produce eggs, but like, I'll throw something in the crock pot. Boom, that's like six meals, you know, right there in one thing. And, you know,
I think that's a normal thing to do. I think the problem with Sean is he would do that amount for every meal. I don't think he's like saving stuff for later. He's trying to like consume all of the eggs in one setting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. If you're trying to eat that many eggs, I would not recommend that.
Yeah. So, but I'm totally on board for his character. I liked this direction of Wiki's plot line. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. All right. So now we're actually at the top three point getters for the season. And if you've been paying attention, I think you can guess who those three are, though we'll reveal the order. but obviously it's the remaining three members of Girls 5 Eva. So the person with the next amount of points, with 3 points this season, was Summer.
I like Summer. I think Summer had like an okay end of the season. Is basically where I'm going to land with her. She got my point in the finale. I think that at least was justified. Lindy, you gave an early-ish point to Summer in episode 3. I could not tell you what that was in terms of episode 3. And then we had a guest give Summer a point. So Todd, no points to Summer from you. She had a really tough start to the season. I just have to be very honest with you. I did not enjoy her at all the first half of the season. She regressed immensely, and then we had the whole thing with her parents, and like, basically once we got past that point, and once we got like past the Summer and Kev nonsense, we got back to the Summer and Kev ridiculousness, and that I really enjoy, and I think like that kind of got to shine through, as well as hopefully cement the progress that Summer has made over the course of the past two seasons, instead of just going back on it at the start and then basically starting from square one yet again. I'm hopeful. I liked her at the end. Really did not like her at the beginning. Lynn, you gave a point to Summer in the third episode, though.
I did. And now that I'm looking back at it, I guess there's not that many episodes, so that's why I didn't give her more than that. But I feel like she might have deserved a little more. I think Summer was, I enjoy Summer maybe more than I realized it, because I'm looking back and I'm pretty fond of her character. I do like the growth that she's had. Like you said, sometimes it has regressed a bit, and the episode with her parents was quite interesting.
Jarring. Yeah.
But otherwise, I think, and in the finale, I think she was great. I think she was, you know, at first she was taking responsibility for Stevia, but then she was like, you know what, Kev, like, you've got to do this. Like, I've been doing this. You can do it too. I'm going to go on this tour. So I really liked that from her. So I think overall,
season. And we could get certainly more in season 3. I think she's in a prime position for season 3. That being said, Todd, even though Lady and I have given Summer some points here in season 2, you have still given more points to Summer overall.
Yeah, I was,
than both of us have.
Yeah, I was half of her points in season 1. I gave her 3 of her 6 points in season 1. I loved season 1 Summer. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why I think it was many points this season, is because I loved her so much in season 1, and then she took a huge dip and huge regression, and all like the growth and progress that she made seemed to like be thrown out the window for the majority of the season. And she kind of recovered towards the end, but it was just so disheartening because a lot of the stuff I loved about season one Summer just kind of got forgotten in season two. And so it made it a lot harder for me to want to give her points. Even if she might have like a funny moment here or there. And I did like towards the end, like, the one thing I did like about Summer in season two was her always trying to call Gloria on her crap. I think I was really close to giving Summer a point in the episode that Lindy gave her a point in, because that's where she is calling Gloria on, you know, everything about, wait, you only want to get back with Caroline because, you know, because you used to, you're doing the same thing that you accused me of, and trying to get Gloria to admit that she's being hypocritical. And I think I like those moments of Summer, like Summer standing up for herself and standing up to Gloria and trying to, you know, get Gloria to admit her hypocrisy. I really like that aspect of Summer, but we just didn't see enough of it.
All right. So now we're at the top two. One of them got 6 points and one of them got 7 points. So in second place this season with 6 points was Wiki, who I believe was our top point getter in season one. So she's moved down to second place for this season.
Yeah. And it was not a great start to the season for Wiki either. I think she didn't have a lot of like the one-liners or the catchphrases or the really wacky moments in the beginning of the season that are the things that make Wiki the most enjoyable. I think by the midpoint of the season, it finally started to course correct a little bit, but the early on, she just didn't have as many really laugh out loud, crazy Wikiisms, and that definitely hurt her in the points early part of the season, but I think she rebounded towards the end.
I mean, she certainly did for you. I somehow gave Wiki no points this season, and it is certainly not because I don't enjoy the character, but at least if I'm recalling these conversations, the number of times that I feel like I said, man, Wiki was like close, or Wiki was a number two option here, was a lot of times, especially the back half of the season.
Yeah, I remember like multiple times like, oh, is this finally going to be the moment where Adams gives Wiki a point, and then it wouldn't happen. But yeah, you definitely were like calling her as your like almost a choice multiple times.
I think she almost got it in the Scott episode in particular. I think I was like right there. And it's certainly not that I'm ever opposed to giving Wiki points. I think she's very funny, makes me laugh like all the time, has the best voice on the show, like undoubtedly. It just is one of those things where I think that she plays the character that she plays really, really well, but the character that she plays is not primed to get points for me, is like where sort of that lands. But it's not because I don't like the character or enjoy her performance as that character. It's just sort of the role in and of itself, which, you know, fair or not fair, I don't know. But
I mean, it's kind of probably the same I feel about the number one character. Sure. I think it's like our senses of humor and the things that like resonate with us the most are like very different of like which characters we find the funniest. And I think that's probably where the line happens.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely love Wiki. I think she's the funniest character overall over these two seasons. But I did give her a ton of points in season one and just one in season two. So she definitely didn't have as strong of a season. Hopefully she comes out strong in season three. I've always loved her. I think just her delivery of things has always been amazing. And she's gotten some really funny things. So always love Wiki, but she was second place this season. And that means, of course, that in first place this season with 7 points was Adam's favorite, Gloria.
Love Gloria. I really do. That being said, I gave her just as many points in season two as I did in season one. She got half my points. She got 4 of them. I think it's very justified. I think I could have been, I think I could have given her more, to be honest with you. I really did love her, especially near the beginning of the season. And I will say near the end, as sort of some other characters, well, outside of the fight with the property brother, she probably could have gotten it the last episode too. But, outside of that, I think that she was much stronger at the beginning than she was at the end. She sort of had like an opposite situation of Summer, where I just kind of kept wondering once we got to that I don't even remember the other girl's name, but once we got to the point, not Carolyn, but the other one,
June.
Well, yeah. Who is June? What was that?
She's a 0 point getter. So
what
I
is
know.
What is June doing in the, like, why was, once we got to that point, I was sort of like, okay, like what are you doing here? Like, why do we keep doing this? And then like, it just was like, oh, I don't know if I'm happy with this person who I've been saying I really want to be with like the whole time. And it's like, well, okay, are we exploring this? Or are you just like saying it to do, I don't know. She's very funny. Her lines are my favorite. Her delivery is my favorite. The back half of the season storyline was not my favorite. But I certainly look forward to Gloria every time she's on the screen. She is unabashedly my favorite character. And got the 4 points from me, which is like somewhat lopsided, but it's as many as Todd gave Wiki. So, you know, at least in my head, that's my girl math right there. That works out. That works out for me, I think. I don't know. Todd gave a point to Gloria. Linda, you gave 2. It's, you know, Gloria got points across the board.
Yeah, Gloria has great moments. I think, you know, overall, I find Wiki funnier in general, but Gloria has some certainly amazing, amazing lines, amazing moments. Like I already mentioned, her fight in the last episode with the Property Brothers was unforgettable. Like, perfect moment. She got my point for that. So yeah, I enjoy Gloria, and I'm happy for her.
Yeah. I like Gloria. Gloria is funny, but she doesn't make me laugh the same amount that Wiki does. I also think it's funny, like Adam, like, yeah, we both gave our you know, girls like 4 points, but also I gave Gloria 1 point this season but gave her no points last season. You gave Wiki 1 point last season and no points this season. So I think like the it's a very, very strange parallel there. But no, I gave Gloria 1 point this season. I can't even remember exactly why. I think her spiraling, trying to get like the phone back and going crazy, I think that made me laugh a bit. I think that was an episode where I was struggling with who to give the point to. And I think I was like kind of, I was torn between Gloria and Summer, and I kind of just went, oh, well, I've never given Gloria a point. This would be my time to give Gloria a point, you know, even though I think it was like, could have been like either one of them easily. But yeah, Gloria makes me laugh, but not that much compared to some of the others.
Well, of course, as we are at the end of season 2, we have to give out one more point to who we believe should be the overall season 2. And you know what? We're going to do that right after a quick ad break. We'll be right back.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we're back to give our final points of season 2. This is exciting. This is like a big moment for us here, kind of, I guess. I don't know. I feel like mine is so easy here. I'm just going to give this to Gloria. I don't know. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, this is just going to Gloria. Throughout the season, she was easily the one that made me laugh the most. I enjoyed her stuff at the very beginning, and then her fight with the Property Brothers at the end. She didn't even get credit for that point-wise for me. Deserves credit for that point-wise for me. So I'm very optimistic about Gloria going forward. Absolutely loved her this season. No surprise at all in terms of my pick whatsoever. Todd. What about you? Who is getting your season 2 chart topper point?
Do you even have to ask? It's Wiki. It's again, like, Wiki is easily my favorite of the girls. Summer disappointed me this season. Dawn disappointed me this season. Gloria was fine, but definitely not to the level that would make me want to give her like an extra point. Wiki, even though she had like a rocky start at the beginning, came back strong, and if it not for Sean, I would have given her my point in that episode. I probably would have been close to giving her a point in the final episode, except the Property Brothers stuff was great. So yeah, Wiki gets my point.
Lindy, ever the mediator, ever the in between. Not really. That's usually tough.
Oh, that's usually me.
In this particular case, who is getting your overall point for season 2?
That is such a great question.
I've been working on it all day, actually.
Okay. Yeah. So as we've been talking about this, I've been thinking about it. And to be honest, I'm between three of the main group. So between Wiki, Dawn, Gloria, and Ashley. Summer. Dawn, yeah. Ashley, or Scott. Yeah. It's tough because I appreciate all of them and they all had some ups and downs this season. But I think I'm going to have to give it to someone who I think I kind of underappreciated a little bit. And I'm going to give it to Summer. I'm not going to break the tie between you two. I'm just going to go with a third option and I'm going to go Summer.
How very taught of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Yeah, that's very exciting. I do think the end of season 2 Summer is great and deserves credit and recognition. It was just so hard for me to get over her parents coming in and doing what they did. Like, I don't know. You're talking about the Nuggetator not working for you, Lindy. Like, I just can't do the marry your father. I just can't do it.
I understand. Well, Summer couldn't do it either. So at least
But she kind of did it. I mean, she really went along with it for a long time. Okay, fair enough. I think this is a totally valid pick. I think Summer is great at the end of the season. I'm excited for her going forward in season 3. Hopefully we're dumping all of the Kev drama in the past, and maybe we get little check-ins with Kev and Stevia, where Stevia is just beating the shit out of him. Like, I don't know. Like, I would love to like see some little flashbacks there. We'll see. Those are chart topping points. Okay. Those are the points we're giving. And of course we will be giving them throughout all of season 3. So stay tuned for an update to these, but Lindy, you have an updated list of scores for season 1 and 2.
Let's do a quick overall update for the seasons collectively. And this could totally change. It's anyone's game after season 3. We'll see.
Except for Dawn.
Dawn's out of the running. She can never win.
What if Dawn just wipes the whole season? Like, what if we're each giving?
I mean, I guess like at first I was like, only episode. Yeah, but if each of us gave Dawn a point in every episode, she could take the lead. She's not mathematically, she's not completely out of it. But
what a season that would be if that happened. Like what?
Honestly, I don't think it would be a very good season of Girls. if we ended up giving Dawn all our points, that would not be good. For the show.
Who knows?
Or for us.
But I will go again from bottom to top. So with 1 point each, we have Ashley, Ghislaine, the piano, Dolly Parton, Hermit Crab, Joey Sasso, Stevia, Rogue Son, and the Property Brothers. What a group.
At some point, I really do think that we should do some kind of like Brant Steele of all of our 1 point getters. Honestly, of all of the shows that we've done.
We should do that.
Like that, yeah. I feel like that would be fun.
Yeah, just so the table wins it all. Just so we have
just like for the table, justice for the table. Can we? We should. We need. It wouldn't be that hard. We should aggregate a list of all of our 1 point getters throughout all the shows that we've. Because I think there are some wild things in there that we could include.
That'd be really funny. We're going to do that. We'll do that someday. But yeah,
after season 3, do we want to commit to that as a bonus pod right now?
Yeah.
Done. Bonus. Well, let's actually make sure we have enough of one step before we do. I think we do, but
Sure we do. Between all the shows we've covered, I'm sure we do. So anyway, that was everyone with 1 point after 2 seasons. With 2 points each, we have Nick and Sean. And then with 3 points, we have Scott. With 4 points, we have Dawn.
Yikes.
You know, she's in fourth place because she's one of the four main characters. And then a big jump to Summer with 10 points. And then in the top two spots, of course, very close race. They're separated by 1 point right now, so this could totally change next season. But right now, in second place, we've got Gloria with 15 points. And in first place, we've got Wiki with 16 points.
I think this makes complete sense, obviously. Of course it does. Like, we've been doing this for two seasons, so we know where these points are. But, like, just in terms of the overall enjoyment of the show for all of us, I think this makes complete sense, and I wouldn't really expect a lot to change. The one thing that I would be really looking at for season three, does Summer continue to stay near the top? Does she even maybe climb a little bit higher and sneak some points away from Wiki and Gloria? Or does she kind of fall down and stay, you know, where she is? I don't know. We'll see. In my mind, she is the one that's like, does she move a lot in season three? I don't think anyone else is going to be. I don't think John's getting a lot of points, and I don't think Wiki and Gloria are not getting a lot of points. So it's like, I think Summer's the one that could move here. And those are our points.
Those are the points.
Those are the points. Those are the chart-topping points. We're not done here. We're going to very quickly go through some of our favorite songs of season two. Now, we said this earlier. The song quality of season two, little suspicious, little questionable here. That being said, I want to start with what I think is the best song of the season, Bed Not Break. And Todd, I just want to give you this option right now to go back and change your score.
I will go back and change my score to 5 Evas from last time, because this is one of the songs that is on my list of my favorite songs for the season. So
now, Lindy, I will offer you the similar choice. You have a slightly lower score of a 4.5, though admittedly not that much lower. It's really only one notch lower for you because you go by 0.5. Bed Not Break was my favorite song of the season. I thought it was so, so good, and what a great ending. Would you like to update your score to a 5?
You're saying you want me to change my score?
I'm saying you haven't given a 5 to any song this season. We have no, and subsequently, we have no 5 Evas between the three of us, and you have an opportunity here, should you want to, to change that for this season.
I'm so sorry, but I can't just manufacture a 5 Eva just because we want one. Like, it's gotta be earned.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's because we want one. I'm saying it's because you were wrong in the score that you gave. There's a slight difference, but I can see how you might think
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm doubling down and definitely not changing it.
You're gonna lower it.
I'm gonna give it a 1.5. Actually, a 0, because I've never done that ever.
Never done that. Oh my god. I really did think this was the best song of the season. It's very catchy. Outside of the theme song, it's been the one stuck in my head the most. Todd, I know you loved this one too.
Yeah. Like I said, like, the only thing that hurt it initially was the fact that it wasn't funny. But after having listened to it a few times outside of this, and just like, no, it's just a well-made song. It's just like a good song. And so, yeah, looking at that point, they weren't trying to be funny when they wrote it. They weren't trying to make a funny song. They were trying to make like a good song, and they made a good song, and I can't fault them for that.
Yeah. And maybe some of the humor was in the concept of the bend not break instead of the actual lyrics and execution. So like, I guess maybe that's part of it, but Lindy, you gave no 5s to any songs, but are there any that you want to talk about as your favorite?
Yeah. Again, it's like, I'm totally willing to give 5s. I give a 5. Yeah. And I absolutely,
well, I mean, Bed Not Break is right there. And
oh my God, you can't decide my scores for me. Okay. It's my opinion.
No, I know.
Look, if I could decide some of your scores, I would do that. So
do you want to do one? You can change any one of my scores, and I will change any one of yours. You want to do a 1-for-1 trade?
No, no deal.
No. Okay.
But anyway,
Deal or No Deal Island. No deal. Okay.
No deal. But yeah, again, like, I want to reserve the 5s for ones I just absolutely love, like, no question about it. And I just didn't get that feeling for any of the songs this season. However, I did really like Bend Not Break. Adam's making it sound like I didn't like it, but a 4.5 is a great score for me. And then the other one that I kind of picked out as a favorite was At the Beep. That was like not funny, but like emotional. So I like that they had that added element to it that was in the episode with, you know, them dealing with Ashley, you know, dealing with their grief for her and, you know, incorporating her message in the song. So I thought that was really nice. And I really enjoyed that one.
Okay. Todd, anything else come to mind for you for favorite songs?
Yeah, I think oddly enough, like most of my other favorite songs of the season were Kev related songs, because those are some of the funniest ones. You know, Summer Brings the Fall is another one that would just get in my head occasionally, but also Can't Wait to Wait. That one just like, you know, kind of sucker punched you with just, like, the references to Kermit Didn't Wait and all of that stuff. Just, yeah, I think both of those two Kev songs, like you said earlier, like once we got away from Kev keeping secrets and got to just like Kev being a goofball, Kev like improved immensely as an enjoyable character. And but anytime we have a Kev song, it's usually a great time because it is so ludicrous and so hilarious. And I think those like the other songs that really, really stood out to me. Also, I will say, like, listening to Momentum again before this, I think I would have bumped Momentum up a bit. It really, listening to the full version and paying really close attention to the lyrics, I think it was like lyrically, it was like really well written. And I probably would have bumped Momentum up a little bit if I hadn't already bumped one other one up.
I had a 4.25 for Momentum. I did enjoy it. I don't know that it was like a standout for this season. It's always tough with that first episode to, you know, get a gauge for where things are going to go throughout the rest of the season. But I did like Momentum. I thought it was a good song. You already said Summer Brings the Fall. That was one of my favorites that has been stuck in my head. Well, I just the riff has been stuck in my head really more than anything else. But that's, you know, that's really all that matters at this point. The other one I'll bring up is BPE. That being said, I think that I would have enjoyed that a lot more had I made a lot more jokes at Lindy and got her more frustrated about the song and about it. But, you know, that didn't happen. But I thought it was a really good song. And one of the brighter spots for Dawn, just in terms of her like coming up with stuff and developing stuff. I feel like they were maybe trying to go for a similar ish vibe, not quite the same, but like in terms of her coming up with stuff and just kind of, you know, wacky cuckoo. So I liked it. I liked BPE. The other songs though, I don't know. There were some stinkers. Who You Know was a stinker for me. Tap Into Your Worth was a stinker for me. Like, there, you know, there, Game Set Match was whatever, like nothing special. Think of Myself, whatever, nothing special. Even New York City Moms, I thought was like such a dramatic step down from New York Lonely Boy that like it was just like tough to do some of these things. I'm optimistic for season three though. I want to have hope and credit and possibility and wonder and mystic and magic, and my spirits are not crushed like Todd's. Which is, I don't know. I feel like that's not like the opposite per se, but I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you're a lot more optimistic and higher on things coming down the pipe than I am. I feel like I'm usually like, oh my God, this sucks and it's going to keep sucking, but I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see. Season three has unlimited potential, unlimited possibilities, because we don't know. We don't know what's coming. That being said, we do know what is coming next week on this podcast. That's what we do know. And it's something that I'm very excited about. So not that long ago, a musical turned into a movie was released in theaters. Now, of course, only one of us saw it in theaters because like the number of movies that only one of us has seen in theaters is all of them. That's just the situation. Todd had the opportunity to see it in theaters. I did not see it in theaters, but I have seen it. Lindy has not yet seen it. Lindy, would you like to announce what we are watching next week? It was at your request. We had a couple of options and you were like, this is coming. I want to do this.
I do want to do this. We're going to watch Mean Girls. Of course, the 2023-24 version. I don't know what year it came out, but the recent one, the musical one, we're going to watch that. It's going to be really exciting.
Of course, the Tina Fey connection, you know, with this show and with Mean Girls. We've talked about some of the folks that are in the production. And I believe that by the time that this releases and by the time you're hearing this, and of course, by the time the podcast is going to come out about Mean Girls specifically, it's going to be on Paramount Plus. Is that right? If people want to go watch it?
Yeah, it will have dropped on the 5th, I believe. March
on 5th. The 5th. Okay, so it's already out. If you have Paramount Plus, because you're watching Survivor or whatever, you're watching, what else is on Paramount Plus? Plus. Is there other stuff? Do they have
Star Trek stuff?
Star Trek stuff. If you're a big Star Trek Discovery, is that the
yeah.
Disco? Okay. If you're a big Star Trek person or whatever, if you're on Paramount Plus, go check it out. I'm sure it's also available through other methods. You know, whatever. Go watch it. Very excited to talk about Mean Girls and to get into some of the stuff. It's good. It's really good. I really liked it. I said this before, but Renee Rapp could literally sing anything and I would be head over heels in love with her. And she wouldn't care about me because that's fine, but it's whatever. None of that matters. It's really good. It really is enjoyable. I'm excited to talk about it. Excited to hear the history of it with both of you as well. Lydia, I'm excited that you're excited to watch a musical.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this podcast has done to me. It's made me excited to watch musicals. So hopefully that makes you both happy.
What a
it
win!
It does.
What a huge win that is. Are you kidding me? If you would have told me 3 years ago that Lindy's excited to watch yet another musical, would have been like, no. Like, that's no. And it's like how long? It's like 2 hours, right? Is that? I think it's
roughly. Oh, don't tell me that.
I forget how long it was, but admittedly, there was a point where I was like, man, we are still chugging.
It is under 2 hours.
155 or like, what are we?
No, 155 is over 2 hours. It is under 2 hours.
No, sorry. Hour 55 minutes.
Oh, hour what 55, are we? Yeah. It's close to that. Yeah.
Okay. It's fine. It's good. It's good.
Like
I promise.
1 hour, 58 minutes. And Todd's like, I'm not going to tell them.
Yeah, 53.
Oh, okay. So that's like 7 free minutes you're getting back, kind of.
Yeah, think of it that way.
Yeah, think of it that way. It's really good. I'm excited to talk about it and break it down with both of you before the following week. We will pick back up coverage live of season 3. That's releasing on Netflix, I think, right? Season 3 is going to be on Netflix. Seasons 1 and 2 will come with it. That's very exciting. Again, we recommend do it on a binge. Watch the show on a binge. I think you'll enjoy it better. But of course, we're not going to do it on a binge. We're going to be here episode by episode. It's going to be very exciting. Yeah, that's what's coming next in the pipeline for Water's Row Podcast.
Yeah, I believe that drops March 14th.
March 14th. Okay, so just a couple days after you're listening to the Mean Girls podcast
or a couple days before you listen to the
Mean couple Girls days podcast. Before. I don't know. Just go watch it. Just go. It's already out. Okay, you're listening to this a couple days late. Go watch it, okay? It's already out. Anyway, that's what's coming down the pipeline, or maybe it's not out for a week. I don't know. Whatever. That's coming down the pipeline for What a Describer podcast. Stay tuned, okay? So much going on. Lindy, we have to get out of here. We have to go. Lindy, what are you doing these days? Maybe people come up with you if they want more of the madness.
Oh my goodness. I think we do have to get out of here. However, I do have one more thing to say.
Please.
Which is that I think it's a brilliant idea for us to do a brand steal for all of our 1 point getters. And I'll tell you why, because I looked back at some of our Crazy Ex-Girlfriend 1 point getters. And you know who's on there? Who's on that list who got 1 point ever?
Who?
Joshua Felix Chan. So he will be participating and I cannot wait.
You know what? You say you can't wait, but literally the moment that like the table idles out, Josh Chan will be everything I want in this life. So, you know, can't wait.
We're just going to have to do it and see what happens.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So that's exciting. Can't wait for that. Mean Girls podcast. Can't wait for that. Girls 5 over season 3. Previous Little Liars. We're having a lot of fun here.
Yeah. Todd, what about you? What's going on?
All right. So you can find me on most social media platforms at Librarian Todd, because Todd Librarian should be characters. I just got done recording a guest appearance on Shit 90 Shows talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And that was lots of fun. Oh. I wish that I could have been there to experience what you experienced watching Sarah watch the episode, because she described it and it sounds like it was amazing. So that's fun. So please go check that out. Jess, Sarah, and I had a lot of fun talking about Buffy. Other than that, there are a couple things like coming down the pipe we should be able to announce in the next couple of weeks. I just tease. I recorded a first episode of a new podcast the other day that will be dropping sometime in the near future, so keep your ears peeled for that.
That's very exciting. Sarah was terrified of all of the things that were happening, and there was one point right in the I don't know if she talked about this, I have no idea, the middle of the episode where our dryer like started acting up and like made a big noise right as the doll was walking across, and she like leapt out of the chair. It was so funny. And I was, if I owned a doll, I would have come back from checking on the dryer and been like, and then, I think she would have left me though. So that would have been a problem. Yeah, that's wild. Speaking of that podcast, I was just on there to talk about Felicity, the Fugue episode. What are we doing on Felicity? What's going on in the show? I don't know if we ever figure it out. Also, speaking of conversations that we had in this house, my explanation of Assassin and the logic of the game, I tried so hard to explain the logic of the game of Assassins, and it just all for nothing. Whatever, I was on Felicity. Go check that out. That was a ton of fun. We got so much going on here at Wonders Grow Podcast. We're doing Previous Little Liars. There might be some new stuff in the works in terms of that Previously On format that we are super stoked to announce very, very shortly. And then there's other stuff in the works. We're not done talking about Doctor Who, that's for sure. Brooklyn Zed and I are going to finish Final Fantasy IX eventually, but everyone's too busy playing the new Final Fantasy VII remake because everyone has PlayStations somehow, even though they're like $1 billion, but everyone's got them. So, you know, go play that game, I guess, and then come back to talk about Final Fantasy IX later. But we have so much going on. You can check us out, 1CXG Podcast on Twitter, and I'm NH. You can find me at the internet, Adam1 on Twitter. But we'll be back next week to talk through Mean Girls, the new musical movie that just came out. It's going to be on Paramount Plus. So go check that out, and we will see you next week. But until then, bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.